the famous British leader and politician, who was noted as a tremendous leader during World War II, was known to have words with the first woman that was ever elected to the House of Commons in Great Britain, Lady Nancy Astor. They were known for their verbal spats that they had with one another. On one occasion, Winston Churchill and Lady Astor engaged in a verbal sparring session when she told him, "If I were your wife, I'd put arsenic in your tea." He responded, "If I were your husband, I'd drink it." On another occasion, she said, "Mr. Churchill, you are drunk." And he responded, "Yes, and you, madam, are ugly, but tomorrow I shall be sober." Now, in some ways, these are humorous quotes, but in other ways, they are words that cut to the deep. That leads me to another quote, this time by Washington Irving, and he said this, "The tongue is the only tool that grows sharper with constant use." And that's very true. Our words and what we say can have an impact on others. And far too often, we do not stop and consider what we say the way that we should. Please turn with me to begin to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Previous to this verse that we are going to be reading, Christ was talking about dealing with judging one's brother, and specifically targeting the Pharisees and their self-righteousness, and pointing out that they could see the speck in their brother's eye, but not the plank in their own eye. Luke chapter 6, and we will read. Let's begin in verse 43. "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." And here's what I want to focus in on, verse 45. "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. And of course, Jesus Christ was instructing the disciples that our actions and our example, our actions and our speech reveal our true underlying thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and motivations. In other words, what is in your heart will come out in your speech and your behavior. And of course, when he's addressing the Pharisees, their examples of speaking often were with malicious intent. Let's go now to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34, verses 11 through 14. This section of Scripture is a section dealing on walking with God. Psalm chapter 34. And let's begin reading in verse number 11. Psalm 34, verse number 11. "Come, you children, listen to me." And we are the children that are being addressed. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Verse number 12. "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" Notice the first part of the verse. Who desires life? Each and every one of us desires eternal life. And the last part of the verse. Loves many long days. All of us would like to live a long life. Then he gives us the key in verse number 13. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So one of the lessons of the fear of the Lord and to live a righteous life and long days is to have integrity of our language and speech, like we read in verse number 13. And a second lesson connecting verses 13 and 14 together is that our words, what we say, can promote peace. Our words can build up, but our words can also tear down if we use them in the wrong way. The title of today's sermon is Examining Our Words and Speech. Examining Our Words and Speech. Today, let's see the importance to examine our words and speech. You know, we're heading very quickly towards the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. It's the time of the year for examination. And then here's something that we can examine, each and every one of us, the things that come out, the words that come out of our mouths. As disciples, we want to bring honor to our God. And we can bring honor to His name by our example and by showing proper respect in our behavior and our speech. Again, it's a time of the year to be examining ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. A scripture that we quite often turn to this time of the year. Verse number 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, the Apostle Paul writes. Test yourselves. And this word test also means to prove. Prove yourself or test yourself whether you are walking with God and following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Walking with God in the faith. This word yourselves in the Greek is emphatic. In other words, take a really good look at yourself. Not just test or prove, but really examine yourself deeply. And one important area that we can examine is with our words and speech. Let's go now to the book of James. James has quite a bit to say in chapter 3 about the use of the tongue. James chapter 3. Again, this is something that each and every one of us, and I include myself, I raise my hand, that we need to be examining ourselves, especially the example that we set, the things that we say, and also our behavior. James chapter 3, and we will begin reading in verse number 1. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Verse number 2. For we all stumble in many things. And that's each and every one of us. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, if we are able to control our actions and our behavior completely, we've just about achieved perfection. But there isn't very many of us walking as human beings that can say that. We don't have that kind of control. Verse number 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Now we need to stop and think about that for a moment. A huge horse, which is very heavy, very strong, a powerful animal, we can actually control them the direction that we want to by those bits and bridles that we use to ride a horse with. We can control a horse. Verse number 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Again, another example here. A huge ship. It can be out on an ocean, which is tossed about by waves and perhaps a storm. And yet, by a very small rudder, it can turn in any direction. It can be controlled. But now we're going to talk about, in verse number 5, something that's not so easy to control. Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boast great things. See how great a forest fire a little fire kindles. Yeah, the tongue can boast many things. We can brag about many things. But is it something that can be controlled? James, in the last part of verse number 5, says, compares it to a forest fire that's out of control. Verse number 6, the first part, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And just a little bitty fire, just a little bitty spark can blow out of proportion and become a huge, raging fire that's out of control. Every time I read this section of scripture, it reminds me of a job that I was working on. I believe it was in 1982, somewhere in those years. It was many, many years ago. And I was working for a new home builder at the time. And this was in the middle of August. Very, very dry that year. We needed rain very, very badly. And we were working on a new home, way out in the country. I don't even believe there was even another home close by. And there was just myself and another young fellow working on this particular house. And I was in my late 20s then, and this fellow was even a couple years younger than me. And if you've ever been around new construction sites, sadly to say, new homes and any construction sites, sometimes you see piles of wood, piles of debris laying around. Really shouldn't be. I think Tommy knows what I'm talking about. Maybe he has his construction sites better maintained than what I've been used to seeing in the past. But you see piles of wood, piles of lumber sitting around. Well, it was in the middle of August, dry. Somehow a little fire got started. And myself and this other fellow, you know, now realize too, we were way out in the middle of the country. The nearest payphone was miles away, way before the day when we had cell phones. And I guess the first thought that came into our mind was to try to beat the fire out, rather than jumping in our trucks and going to wherever the next house was and calling for the fire department. That was just our first natural reaction, was to grab a couple of 2x4s and start beating on this fire that was starting to spread. And we were young and we were strong, and we were beating and beating and beating on that fire. And I remember, of course, the smoke and the flames and heat in the middle of August, and it was just about putting me down. And I got to where I couldn't hardly beat anymore with that 2x4. But we had just done enough to where the fire went out. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. Just that little bitty fire and how it kind of started to almost get out of control. And that's the example that James is bringing out, that the tongue is like a fire. It can start something little and can get out of control. Continuing on, the last part of verse number 6. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell or the grave. It's just a little member, but the tongue is a fire. That means it's out of control. Things that we say, sometimes things that we don't mean, but things that can be gossip, bragging, putting others down, complaining, false teaching, or even lying. Those kind of things that can be out of control. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul talking about proper conduct. We'll begin reading verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, the way that we used to live, the things that we used to do. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And he adds this in verse 25, therefore putting away lying, which is one of those things that can come easily out of our mouths. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So part of our new walk, part of putting on the new man, is no corrupt word coming out of our mouths, but only words that are used for edification. And that means to build up. Words that build others up, that help others. Verse 31, or verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And those particular words that are mentioned in verse 31 are things that can emanate from our attitudes, our speech, and our behavior. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So the Apostle Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And that's important for us as disciples, and especially as we are going through that process of examination, to think about what we say and the things that we say. You know, the book of Proverbs, we're going to be going to Proverbs here in just a few moments, is a book of wisdom. It has a lot to say about the tongue and the proper use of what comes out of our mouths. In fact, there are 50 Proverbs concerning the mouth. And there are 19 Proverbs concerning the tongue. What we say can build up, but what we say can also cause damage. So let's go ahead and begin turning to Proverbs, and let's do a comparison using the scriptures between good communication and its effect, and bad communication and its effect that it has upon us, looking at some of the Proverbs. In other words, we'll be taking a look at Proverbs, looking at how words can cause damage and how words can edify. Proverbs, let's go. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. First of all, let's take a look at how words can tear down. Proverbs chapter 18. So we're going to do a comparison, first of all, looking at how words tear down, and then we'll take a look at how words can build up. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 8. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer, or as the margin says, a slanderer or a gossip, the words of a talebearer are tasty trifles. Tasty trifles, or as the margin points out, Jewish tradition, wounds. Words that can wound. The words of a talebearer are tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. The inmost body, or as the margin points out, the rooms of the belly. So to paraphrase here, the words of a gossip can hurt because they go down deep inside. The Nelson Study Bible adds this to this verse. It says, the words of a talebearer are like delicious sweets. Thus the word tasty trifles. Although they are fun to eat, they ruin the person's health. Gossip is fun to listen to, but the stories damage the listener's inmost body. And you know, that's one of those things about human nature. Whenever somebody is telling something about somebody else, it's always something that, because of our human traits, we want to hear. But again, it's a common trait of human nature, and it can sometimes do damage. Proverbs chapter 16, just a couple pages back. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 29. Proverbs 16, 27. An ungodly man digs up evil and is on his lips like a burning fire. So this is talking about somebody who's actually digging deep, trying to dig up something dirty. And then he wants to tell about it like a burning fire, like we talked about earlier, like James' example, how a fire can get out of control, like the tongue can be. Verse 28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Sowing strife, like sowing seed, something that will spring and sprout later on. And a whisperer can actually divide or separate friends. Verse 29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. to read from expositors from this section of Scripture. It says this: slanderers and gossips cause division. A gossip is one who murmurs and whispers. This kind of person will destroy close friendships by what he says. Hold your place in Proverbs, and let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus Christ was amplifying the law, he said something that is very important in regards to what we're talking about here, words that can do damage. Matthew chapter 5. Again, hold your place in Proverbs, if you will. Matthew chapter 5. And we will be reading verses 21 through 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Raca here, Raca, means is something that is said in a tone of contempt, of a tone of voice of contempt towards another. And you fool is actually branding their character. So these are things that we say. And these are things that can destroy somebody's name and their reputation. And Jesus Christ was amplifying the law here. He amplified the sixth commandment, showing that murder, you know, actually hating somebody that could lead to murder, includes animosity, hostility towards others. And when the sixth commandment is broken, it's because we have malicious attitudes towards others. And it can come out in what we say. Now, let's take a look at some of the Proverbs on how words can help and build up. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. We looked at some of the ways that words can tear down, but now let's look at how words can actually help and build up and edify. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And we will be reading verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse number 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And you know, that's a very, very true principle, verse number 1 there. You know, I've had occasions, you know, you can imagine in my job as a minister, I've had to deal with people that have been upset and angry. And I have found that if I can speak to them in a soft tone, that a lot of times they'll calm down. But as it says in the last part of verse number 1, a harsh word stirs up anger. If you begin to get all excited and speak to them, you know, in that kind of tone, it doesn't help. It actually can stir up things. Verse number 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Uses knowledge rightly. Using the Scriptures, putting them to practice. God's Word, using it rightly. But the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Notice, the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. It pours out in streams. Verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God sees everything. He knows. And he knows our hearts as well. Verse number 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. I like the very first part of verse number 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In other words, good words, words that edify, healing words are a source of strength. And they're like a tree of life because they can help. They can help others. And there's another implication here, the first part of verse number 4, that wise, wholesome words leads one on a path towards eternal life. The things that we say, our conduct and our behavior. You know, we talked about this in the Bible study series on Genesis when we were going through chapter 2 and chapter 3, that it was lying words. Lying words by the serpent, Satan, the devil, that caused man to be steered away from the tree of life, weren't they? Lying words. But verse number 4, the first part, tells us that a wholesome tongue, healing words, edifying words, are like growth and can lead us towards the tree of life. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse number 18. Verse number 18 is one of those verses that has a contrast in it. Proverbs 12, verse number 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Again, a contrast. Somebody that's using wrong words, it's like a sharp sword that cuts deep and it can hurt. But somebody who's using good words, wise words, promotes health, healing type words. I like the paraphrase of verse number 18. It reads like this. Some people like to make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise soothe and heal. Soothe and heal. And you know, the tongue can heal in a spiritual way if we're using God's word. Continue to hold your place in Proverbs, and let's go to Isaiah 61. Let's take a look at a prophecy talking about Jesus Christ, because when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he had those kind of healing words in his ministry as he spoke of the kingdom of God and the gospel message. Hold your place in Proverbs, and let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. Again, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he did preach those good tidings, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And as I said in one of my previous sermons, how great it would have been to be able to listen to those words, to actually been a witness to hear what he had to say. Continuing on, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted, those who needed those words, those kind words to build up and edify. And he did that in his ministry. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. The spiritual healing ministry of Jesus Christ was by his gospel message, his words and his actions, the mighty works that he did. And much was said by his words of healing. Let's go back now to the book of Proverbs. It's so important for us to practice healing words that we use today. Because in the kingdom, now think about this for a moment. In the kingdom, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there's going to be a lot to do. There's going to be people that are going to need help. People that have been suffered through wars, had their heads cut off, just all kinds of brutal things. And they're going to need help. People that have gone through things that we can't even imagine. And we can be there to give them those words, those help words that help and edify. And if we practice those healing words today, we'll be able to use them in the future. We have the opportunity to build one another up, each and every one of us here in the congregation, and use the kind of speech that God wants. And we all can make improvements in this area. So as we continue on now for the rest of the sermon, let's look at three ways that we can improve our speech, our words that come out of our mouths, to be those kind of healing, edifying words. Three ways. The first way and foremost is seek God's help. We have to have God's help. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 1. I had read this verse before in my studies and in sermons before, but it never left an impression on me like it does now as I prepared this particular sermon. Proverbs 16, verse number 1. The preparations or the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God has the answer, and we can seek His help. I like how the New International Version translates verse 1. It reads like this. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. God can help us in the things that we say. And the New International Study Bible adds this. God must give the ability to articulate and accomplish the plans that we make. The answer from the tongue is from the Lord. Only God can help us to give us those spiritually healing words, those words that build up, that result in healing. And we can seek His help. All we have to do is ask. You know, Jesus Christ said, ask. We're in that time of the year where we're examining ourselves. God, help me to control the things that I say. Proverbs chapter 25, just a few pages forward. Proverbs chapter 25. Begin in verse number 11. Proverbs 25:11. Here's a familiar scripture to all of us. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Now think about that for a moment. An apple is one of those things that is good for us, very nutritious, and there's even the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But notice how it's compared here, that it's like apples of gold, not only a good apple that we eat, but an apple of gold in a setting of silver. In other words, words that are fitly spoken are just that way. Something that's really beautiful and precious. Verse number 12. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Verse number 15. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. In other words, a person that is so hard, maybe so hard-headed, like a bone, because a bone is hard, can be softened by a soft answer, a good word, and it can break down hardness or opposition. Again, the soft answer, a word fitly spoken. Colossians chapter 4. Again, we're talking about the first way to help improve our speech is to seek God's help. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Colossians 4, verse number 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how that you ought to answer each one. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. It's interesting, this word speech here, our English word speech, is translated from the Greek word logos. And what does logos signify? Well, the word logos is identified with the word Jesus Christ. In other words, there's a hint here of having Christ's help in our speech so that it can be with grace. Seeking Christ's help, to follow in His footsteps. Help me with the things that I say. Seasoned with salt. And that means with purity and wholesomeness. And where does that come from? It comes from God. And we can improve our speech as we're examining ourselves by seeking His help. The second way to improve the things that come out of our mouths, our speech, God's word in our hearts reflects wholesome speech. God's word in our hearts reflects wholesome speech. And to boil that down, if God's word is in our hearts, it'll come out in the things that we say and the things in our behavior. God's word has a healing effect. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we will be reading verses 1 through 6. I've been talking about this as we've been going through the Bible study series on Genesis, that the Pentateuch was written for the children of Israel so that when they go into the promised land, they would have these words, God's commandments, His statutes, and these words of wisdom, the historical examples for them as they went into the promised land. And God was teaching and instructing them. Here we have a section of scripture where God was preparing the children of Israel to go into the promised land and the things that they needed to know. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. In other words, you're getting ready to go into the land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now these are the things that I want you to concentrate on, think about, and put into practice. Verse number 2. That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land of flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And verse number 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. God's words were to be in the children of Israel's hearts, and they're to be in our hearts as well. We read the scripture at the beginning of the sermon, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if God's word is in our heart, and that's what He was telling the children of Israel here, it's going to be reflected in their behavior as they go into the promised land. And it can be in our behavior as well. James chapter 3. Let's pick up where we left off. We went through the first few 6 verses or so of James chapter 3 and the tongue. Now let's pick it up in verse number 13 of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we'll be reading verses 13 through 18. Instructions that James was giving for those that would be teaching God's word. James chapter 3. And let's begin in verse number 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. By good example, by good conduct, behavior that will be reflected and others will see that. Verse number 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Verse number 17, but the wisdom that is from above, wisdom that comes from God, and God's scripture, the words of wisdom that we have before us today, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's a lot of good description in verse number 17 of good character, good conduct in it. Wisdom from God, some very important elements. Pure is described here. And this the Greek word is a kind of a moral purity, a purity of thought that comes from our hearts. Also, we find the word peace. And what does peace produce? Right relationships. And our words can produce peace, as we read earlier in the scriptures. A right relationship with God and our brother from our words. The word gentle here, a person who knows how to forgive and is not condemning. Also, the word yield, which means ready to obey. All these things by our conduct and the things that come out of our speech and our words. And wisdom from above, God's word, can help us to reflect that from our hearts. Number three, the third way to, in our examination process, to improve our speech, God's Spirit helps us with our words. We need God's Spirit. God's Spirit helps us with our words. The fruit of the Spirit of self-control is involved. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And of course, you know that I have given various sermons along the way in the last 5 years that I've been here on these various aspects of the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of self-control can help us to speak those words, those healing words, those helping words that edify. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and notice the last one here in verse 23, self-control. Against such there is no law. It's interesting in this list of the fruits of the Spirit that the very first one begins with love. And of course, we just finished a series, a three-part series on love and showing love towards God and love towards our neighbor and also building the fruit of the Spirit of love. That's the very first one listed. But the very last one ends with self-control. I think that's very interesting, the way the Apostle Paul was inspired. Beginning with love and ending with self-control. William Barclay adds this. He says, we cannot speak of God with our mouths unless God's Spirit is in our hearts. We need God's Spirit to help us in our speech. You don't have to turn there, but you can put down in your notes if you'd like. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. Acts 24, verses 24 and 25. This is the section of Scripture where the Apostle Paul was being accused of dissension and profaning the temple. And he was standing before Felix, the governor, and he was defending himself. And he was talking about the three most important elements of his faith as he was talking to Felix. And one of those three important elements that he mentioned was self-control, which I find that very interesting. He could have talked about faith, hope, love, all the different things that he could have gone into. And one of the most important aspects of his faith was self-control. And of course, he had to exercise that as he preached the gospel message to the various parts of the Mediterranean world. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the help and the power to control what we say. Now, we've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the power. It's God's help. And we can seek that help. We can ask Him for that help to help us to give those edifying words to our brother. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. And we'll be reading verses 27 through 28. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse number 27. He who has knowledge, and we're talking about knowledge, we're talking about use of God's word, wisdom from above. He who has knowledge spares his words. In other words, he's thinking things through, thinking before he speaks. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Calm spirit. Self-control. The fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Verse 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. He is considered perceptive. This proverb emphasizes, verse number 27, the need to think before speaking. Speaking before we think can cause problems. You know, I'm reminded of this. Most of you know that Lenny and I speak Spanish, and that we travel throughout Latin America, and I've given sermons in various countries. You know, when you're learning a language, it's a process. And you learn a lot of words and you learn verbs, but you're always afraid to say something. And there's always a point where you can understand more than you can speak. And a lot of people, anybody that knows the language, you know what I'm talking about. You can listen to somebody, you can understand what they're saying, but you're afraid to say anything. Because you're afraid that you're going to say it wrong, or you're going to translate it wrong. And that's the way it is, especially when you're in the beginning stages of speaking a language. You're so careful and guarded that you don't want to say something wrong and have people look at you wrong or say something wrong. And in speaking, now think about this, speaking a message, a sermon, you don't want to say something wrong where you're changing doctrine, or you've said something that's totally, totally erroneous, and everybody's looking at you like, what did he say? So anyways, it's very important when you're speaking another language to think before you speak. And that's what this particular proverb is emphasizing. I think each and every one of us have had a time where we've said something and it just kind of plops out of our mouth. You know, it just poof, out it comes. And you think, why did I say that? Why did I say that? I should have thought before I said that. But we're all human and those things can happen. The mouth and what we say are one of those physical things that need to be controlled. And we can do that by learning God's Word, applying God's Word, discipline, thinking our thoughts through, and asking God to help us, helping us to set a guard over our mouths. Actually, that's one scripture that I missed here. I've got to look backward in my notes and see where I missed it. Psalm chapter 141. Let's go there. We're not that far away. Psalm chapter 141. I really like this particular psalm. I think it says a lot. Psalm chapter 141, verse number 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Very profound. This word guard is a military term, like setting an army around your mouth, you know, so that these bad things don't creep out. Set a watch over the door of my lips. What does a door do? It opens and shuts. Set a guard over my mouth so that these things don't flop right out of there. It's kind of comical in a way, but it's very true. We need to think before we speak. And God's Spirit can help us to do that. God's Holy Spirit, all we have to do is ask God to give us that help. It's a spiritually important dimension, the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. And we need God's help to use it properly. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 33 through 37. Matthew 12. And let's begin reading in verse number 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And we're talking about trees here. This is Jesus Christ is talking about our character, our example, our behavior. We're known by our fruit. Verse number 34. Brood of vipers. And he's serious about this now because he's slamming those that were listening, the Pharisees and those that were not listening to his words. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, verse 35, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. And as we've been talking about, if we have God's Word and we're using God's Spirit, that will be reflected in our behavior. Verse 36, "But I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." What Jesus Christ is emphasizing here in this section of Scripture is we are accountable for what we say and the significance that he puts on it. He reminds us that what we say is a product of what is in our hearts. Isaiah chapter 45, a couple of scriptures as we begin to wind down here now. Isaiah chapter 45. There's a coming a time when Jesus Christ returns and he sets up his government on this earth, that right ways, God's word will be taught and people will begin to make changes in their lives and they will begin to say right things. You know, we have so much corruption in this world. We turn on the TV. It doesn't matter. Movies, whatever it is. Conversation. You go to a construction site and you hear all kinds of foul, filthy language. There's coming a time when that's going to be cleaned up and the tongues are going to speak right things. Isaiah chapter 45, and we can look forward to that time. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 23 and 24. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 23. "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall take an oath. And he shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength." And in the margin, my Bible reflects verse number 24, the first part to the margin. It says, "Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength." And every tongue is going to begin to speak right things, speaking God's word and learning God's word and getting strength from God's word. And that's going to happen someday in the future when Jesus Christ returns. Every tongue will speak right and proper things. And God says that every tongue will say, "Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength." In other words, every tongue, every person will be learning from God's word. From God's word in their mouths, in their speech, will reflect that as well. Finally, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verses 9 through 11. But we're going to begin with verse number 5. Because this is an important aspect, again, as we've been talking about examining ourselves and our speech this time of the year, as we go forward towards the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We have to be seeking Christ's help, his mind, so that it can be reflected in our hearts, that we can speak those things that will edify and help other people, those healing words, so that we can use those healing words in the kingdom. Verse number 9, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth." And notice verse number 11. "And that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's coming a time when this scripture is going to be fulfilled. There's not going to be the corruption that we see in the world today. People that don't even believe in God. Every tongue is going to confess. Every tongue is going to be taught. And people are going to learn. And they're going to be saying right words. Because this world has to be changed. It's full of corrupt words. Filthiness of language. And it gets worse all the time. But you and I, as disciples, we have help. We have access to power to help us to overcome and to clean up the things that we say. So as we go forward towards the Passover, it's a good time to examine our words and our speech. Ask God to help us to identify and help us to overcome the problems that we have. Help, ask Him to put His Word in our hearts so that it can reflect, be reflected in our example, in our behavior, healing words that help and edify. And also ask Him to give us the Holy Spirit, especially the fruit of the Spirit of self-control, to set a guard over my mouth and help me to help my brother. The Holy Spirit must be involved to help us to have the right attitudes, motives, and the heart. And then we can go forward as we go towards the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread with God's help. Help us with our speech so that we can learn those healing words, those edifying words that can be used to help Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God.